number one in your programs, number one in your hearts, number one in every friggin' category that matters. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This is Thursday, May the 23rd, 2013, and the radio program is on the air. It's primetime on the Fan and Sportsnet in high definition. I'm Bob McCown. Greetings, salutations. John Shannon will join me a little bit later on. Also, Neil Smith of Sportsnet in studio. Rob Becker, our legal analyst, got bumped yesterday for maybe the most boring news conference in the history of news conferences. I'm embarrassed to say we showed it. But here's the problem. We have to decide whether to show it to you before it actually happens in order for you to see it live. And when it's crap, we have no control over it. However, here's what I will promise you. The next news conference that we air live involving Mike Gillis will be his last when he leaves. And maybe then we won't even show it. And not to blame him, because he can't help it that he's dull. Pat Gillick, the special advisor to the Phillies and one of our pals, will join us later on. Also, Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada. David Branch, the president of CHL and OHL commissioner. Saskatoon Blades defenseman Dalton Thrower was suspended for the remainder of the tournament after his hit on forward Taylor Lyre of the Portland Winterhawks. Did you see it? Another one of those, you know, boy, I don't know. No question he came in contact with his head. Did he get his arm up? He was putting the brakes on at the time of the hit. So it wasn't a full-out hit. I mean, he was sort of sideways. And as often happens in these situations, one guy's going one way, the other guy's going the other way, and you kind of half catch him. And it appeared to me it was more shoulder to the head than it was arm to the head. But anyway, we'll discuss it with David Branch. As is our new custom here on the program, we're going to spend considerable time. We may actually turn this into a much bigger thing. We may actually only do 90 minutes of original programming a day, then replay that 90 minutes the next day, followed by 90 original minutes, followed by 90 minutes of that replayed the next day. This is the evolution. This is the Johnny Carson School of Broadcasting. This is how do you get to retirement while still getting paid your full amount? And this is what I've been working on for some considerable period of time. So I'm sort of on the cusp of identifying how to do this. Work less, same pay. Fortuitously for me, none of the suits here apparently listen or watch the show, so they haven't caught on yet. So, shh, don't tell them. So here's a new thing. We take an interview from yesterday, and if you missed it, we'll replay it today. And none of you would have heard it or seen it anyway because the Blue Jays game was on. So we were preempted on everybody but Sportsnet 1. The latest rating showed 8 people were actually watching us yesterday. So if you're one of those 8, I apologize. Go and do something else for the next 20 minutes. Everybody else, this is all fresh material for you. So J.P. Morosi of Fox Sports was on with us yesterday. He had this sort of goofy idea. Well, it started out as we thought, a goofy idea. He says Tampa Bay, the Rays, have a stadium issue. They want a new stadium. Apparently, they're not going to get it. Oakland A's want a new stadium. They're not going to get it. Neither of these two franchises obviously sell a lot of tickets. Neither of them are sustainable in terms of generating tangible revenue. So Morosi, you know, while he was out partying with Mayor Ford, I guess, in the midst of sucking on the pipe, comes up with, dude, why don't we move one of them to Montreal and bring the Expos back? Sounds dumb? I sort of thought so, too. But then you start thinking about it. So here's our conversation from yesterday with John Paul Morosi of Fox. Our next guest thinks that Montreal would be a better more viable market for Major League Baseball than either Oakland or Tampa Bay.
It's an interesting, like a debating point. Be it resolved that.
Are you going to debate him?
I have some questions anyway.
Well, I think he's lost his mind.
Oh, he may have.
Here's John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports. Have you snapped completely?
You are not the first two people to come up with the possibility that I have lost my mind. You probably aren't even the first people to come up with that idea today. But needless to say, I'm grateful that you're having me on the show.
Why? The fee is crap. I mean, you know, you're not doing it for the money. We know that. So, look, we're all fond of Montreal and fond of our memories of the Expos. I was there, Jarry Park, Parc Jarry, as they used to call it.
Or Jarry Park.
In the early days, and then at the which is pretty crappy, but.
It was fun, though, when it was there were people there, and it was rocking, and it was a good crowd.
It just seemed like every time I went there was nobody there. I don't know why. It was just happenstance, but I was never in there. The only time I went there was a big crowd was for a Grey Cup game. Otherwise, you know, for a baseball game, I never went when it was a big crowd. Now, I used to get like 17, 18, 19,000 at Parc Jarry, and it felt like the atmosphere was great.
Yeah, but it was like
Major League Baseball in a little league park.
It was like that at the Olympic Stadium, too. It was a much louder crowd than a Toronto baseball crowd, a different kind of crowd. But, it's a terrible baseball stadium. Like, no, I'm not.
Well, I hear you there.
It's horrible.
But. So what makes you think this is even worth discussing?
Well, I should preface this by saying this is a very theoretical opinion.
We get that.
Me.
Okay.
And I did mention this to Bud Selig last week at the owners' meetings. When I asked him, is there anything new on the Oakland or Tampa stadium situations, he said, a lot of discussions, but nothing to report. And then a couple of questions later, I said, just a hypothetical question, do you think Montreal is a more viable market for baseball now than it was 10 years ago? And he just kind of like curled his eyebrow at me and he said, let's just talk about the stuff we actually talked about today. So clearly this is not front and center on Bud Selig's mind, and frankly I don't think it will be for the duration of his tenure, which supposedly will end at the end of the 2014 season.
Well, so but I can tell you when Bud Selig will be interested in Montreal. When somebody shows up at his doorstep with a suitcase full of cash and says, I'm from Montreal and I want a team.
Exactly. And as you said, Bob, it's all about the money. So the reason why I think this could make some sense is this. If the new stadiums for Tampa and Oakland are truly at zero, which right now I think they are. I mean, there's really been no progress made in a meaningful way in either area.
Right.
What we know about those two franchises is they are right now taking a ton of revenue-sharing money from the richer clubs.
That's correct.
The way the revenue-sharing system works. So it behooves the richer clubs to, at some point in time, get those two franchises to a spot where they have functioning stadiums that allow them to not take as much of their money.
Yes.
And so I think that if you look at it and say, well, if there's really nothing going on in Tampa or in Oakland for a new stadium, you got to look elsewhere. And the reality is a lot of the places in the U.S. that you would look at and say, well, maybe this is a possibility, they'd be blocked by a lot of other teams from a territorial standpoint, whether it's New Jersey, Northern Virginia. There's not really that big viable place, like in hockey where you have Quebec or Seattle for the NBA, the one spot that everybody's talking about. So I think that if you could actually get some kind of a groundswell where, hey, we can maybe get somewhere to a new stadium and talk about that in Montreal, then you could maybe envision this thing working. And I think that I realize that Canadian voters are very reluctant to do the publicly financed thing. I get that. But I also think that, frankly, voters in Florida, in Tampa, will look down to Miami and say, hey, I don't want that to happen to us either. And so my point is there may not be that much more of a likely situation of getting public financing in Tampa than there would be in Montreal.
Well, great. The great irony, of course, JP, is that, you know, St. Pete for years was the place where, you know, everybody was going to move to St. Pete, right? They had mm-hmm. to get a team
the
into
Giants.
St. Petersburg.
It's at, yep.
You know, the Giants, the White Sox, there are all kinds of teams. Everybody's that was the leverage used to get a stadium built. But, we spend a lot of time in Tampa, obviously, because the Jays are in Dunedin. And so I hear a lot of Tampa Rays talk. And, you know, all of the conversation I hear down there is about how that's a good market. It's certainly a big enough market population-wise. There is baseball down there, and that the stadium and the stadium location are 100% of the problem. That if you put it on the other side of the bay and made it easier to get to, and it is a ridiculously hard place to get to because of the traffic patterns there, and presumably, you know, you put some kind of a retractable roof on it so you don't have to be in that mausoleum all the time, that would fix every problem in Tampa, correct?
And I agree with that on some level. I think that if you put it on, I think, as you said, the right side of the bay, I mean, you know, certainly the area around, I don't know if there's even area left down by where the hockey rink is, but I think that's that's an area where I think that's the right model for whether it's baseball, hockey, whatever. Put the stadium where there's going to be some foot traffic. That of course is a big problem in Phoenix, as we've talked about a lot with the hockey there. So I think if you move it to either that location or what's been talked about a lot is the intersection of I-4 and I-75.
Correct.
East. The fairgrounds area, where also you could bring in some Orlando people, some Sarasota people.
Exactly.
So the location, I think, is paramount there. But the problem they're having right now, Stephen, in that area is the St. Petersburg mayor is very, very stubborn about his insistence that the new ballpark be in Pinellas County and in St. Petersburg.
And that they honor the lease they have.
Exactly. The lease is long, and it is not ending anytime soon, and it's a very unfavorable one for the club. So that is its immediate issue locally. Now, obviously, you'd run into a whole different set of obstacles if you tried to relocate the club. That would involve some different things and probably a different owner. I mean, this is so far from actually coming to pass that it is a very much a theoretical discussion. My point is just that if you did it right, I certainly think that the Montreal is a much better baseball market now than it was 10 years ago because of two things primarily. Number one, the dollar is basically on par. And number two, when you look at the big driver behind all the revenues we see in baseball right now, it's the TV rights. And I think they didn't really realize what they had there 10 years ago when you could have sold the rights twice in English and in French. I don't know if you could double your money, but you could certainly get more than what teams could do if it was selling it only in one language. So if you really actually looked at it from the proper standpoint about how you could market that in a media context with both languages, you could actually make a lot of money doing that.
I think theoretically you're correct.
Functionally, is another story.
Well, no owner, no stadium. So, which are two, you know, and the last guy who put a lot of his own money into baseball in Montreal, believing in baseball in Montreal, was Charles Bronfman. And that was quite some time ago, right? So I don't count Jeffrey Loria, and I don't count Claude Brochu in that group because they didn't have the same kind of deep pockets. So we're going back a long way, and you need someone like that to start, you know. And I know there's a lot of, look, and I'm as sentimental about baseball in Montreal as anyone. I love the Expos. I was there for some great times, and I love the city. And I think if you had a cute little ballpark somewhere close to downtown, it would be, certainly would be fashionable at the beginning, which is a big deal in Montreal. But I honestly, JP, I don't know. You know, they George Gillette ended up with the Montreal Canadiens because no one in Montreal would buy the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah, so it's a tricky place to try and find that sugar daddy.
I'm going to call Gillette. Maybe Gillette's interested in the Expos.
He's probably knowing George, he probably is. It's just, you know, like Oakland is a stadium issue, and even if you fix the stadium there, I'm not sure what you get in Oakland. I think Tampa you can probably salvage if you got the right stadium. But in Montreal, as much as I believe
in it, they're not going to get out of the orange juice dome in St. Pete.
No, they may be stuck there forever.
Forever.
So, but I would love to think, but step one would have to be somebody to step up in Montreal and say, hey, I want a baseball team, someone other than Warren Cromartie.
Right. And I think, Stephen, you raised a great point. Obviously, money talks at the end of the day. I mean, I think a big part of this would have to be media-driven. I mean, I think that depending on what kind of media companies you could get involved there in Montreal that would be maybe directly responsible for distributing the content, much as Rogers is in Toronto, obviously, some kind of a parallel situation there where they would be heavily invested and say, you know what, I'll put up the money for the team because I know that when you look at least in the States, what some of these rights deals have been getting, mm-hmm. in terms of being a self-servicing, you could have the channel, you could have the content, whether it's a possible thing where, who knows, maybe the owner could start up his or her own regional sports network, national sports network, such as it is, to sort of, you know, make that be the flagship of it. We see it so many times with SNY in New York, and yes, and that's the model right now. When you look at the overall media scope, everybody's talking about sports rights, and they're talking about, you know, these different sports networks or general interest networks that have sports on them as the platform. And so I think that would probably be the model, where you would actually have the sort of upfront capital to then launch the product and make it a overall branding thing. I mean, again, it is a very theoretical ideal, as I said off the top. But when you look at it in that context, if there's not that type of critical mass of media and money in these other places, it's worth at least I think thinking about in Montreal.
But that would narrow down the potential owners to one in Canada because of the way broadcast works in this country. It would have to be Bell. That's the only other people, right? It's because Rogers owns the Jays. Mm-hmm. Rogers owns the all the content that goes with it. Bell would have to get in as a content play and essentially go head to head.
Well, unless somebody like CBC wanted to step back in.
No, but they're not going to own. No, you're talking about
an equity.
No, they're not going to own it. You know, and if it's a media,
are we eliminating the possibility of an individual or corporate entity other than a media company?
Well, I think what JP was just talking about, and I think it's true, is that the value in baseball right now is for media companies because the content is valuable and there's a lot of it. You know, that seems to be the way the world is evolving.
Right. If you own the content and the means of distributing it and the
yep.
spectrum and the channels, that's the model right now. And when we look at every conversation people have now is about, you know, the value of live television on and sports and what the whole cable model is going to look like 10, 15 years out. I think that's got to be it now. And of course, I mean, who knows? There could be that white knight with just tons of money, and all of a sudden they want to own a club, and there you have it. I mean, I would say that when you look at it, is Olympic Stadium, you know, antiquated and bad? You know, yes, of course it is. But in the near term, if you were gonna say, you know what, I think baseball can work if we do it right and go back in. If you're gonna play there for a year or two,
no,
in a short-term situation,
no.
Kind of while the new place is getting built, it's not going to be much worse than what Oakland has and what Tampa has right now. I mean, I agree with you.
Brent doesn't like
about that.
Brent doesn't like that idea. But look, ultimately, you're probably going to have to go down that road. That's almost the only road you can go down, because there's no way you're going to commit to building a $400 million, $1 billion baseball stadium unless you have a guarantee of the team, which means right. You either leave the team where they are as a dead duck for a couple of years, or you move them to Montreal, play in a place where you could play, understanding that fans come support your team. We're only going to be here for a year and a half. And we're going to build you a brand new, state-of-the-art, outdoor, retractable roof stadium, which is what you need in Montreal.
Yes, you
right.
do.
Downtown. And again, it's the two things that tell me that this idea is not completely at zero is again, the rich teams in baseball have a vested interest in getting the A's and the Rays into something more profitable, so they have to stop, so they can stop subsidizing them on the level that they're doing right now. There is the rich teams, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the people with real juice in this whole deal, they stand to benefit from those two teams getting new ballparks. Now, it could be in, they probably don't care if it's in their markets or wherever it is, as long as it's not near them, they just want them to get new stadium somewhere, and if it's not going to happen where they're at right now, they would want to look into something else. And the other thing is, 3.8 million people in the metropolitan Montreal area. That is by far the largest market in the U.S. and Canada without a baseball team. So I mean, there are more than enough people there to support it if you put it in the right spot and do it the right way.
The Yanks should just rent the Rays Legends Field. That's, you know, that would handle their average. You know, their normal crowd would fit nicely into Legends Field, the Yankee spring training
right.
complex.
Yeah, actually, that's
not. Doubt about that, and actually, remember, it was a few years ago where the Rays played a series against Texas in Orlando because they actually calculated it out and they figured they were drawing like 8,000 or 9,000 for those games, so they moved it to the Disney Complex for a 3-game series because that's about the capacity of that place, and it actually worked out okay. So in Orlando is maybe a possibility down the line. I mean, just because also in Florida and everything else, but again, I think the overall public financing appetite, especially in Florida, because of how bad the Miami situation is not really there. So that kind of takes away one advantage that these U.S. markets used to have over the Canadian markets, because I do not sense a great fervor for public financing stadiums right now.
You are correct about that.
I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise, but about a half an hour ago, you guys were talking about media buying and how a media company has to buy it because of television rights and the ancillary rights are so valuable. I don't believe that. Here's what you do. What you do is you find a rich guy like Gillette, and I mean, assuming you're going to have to get some government funding for the stadium, which you may be able to get out of the Quebec government. They don't have much cake, but they'll go to the Canadian government.
I believe they're building a hockey rink right now, so that's
yeah. Whatever. And you form your own TV network. You have a cable channel, and you put your games on your cable, a national cable channel.
Well, you'd have to buy one. You wouldn't be able to form it.
Sure, you could.
Well,
just go make an application to the CRTC.
Yeah, good luck with
you
that.
Sure, you could. Well, you can get a Cat B for sure. You might be able to get a Cat 1. I that's exactly how I would do it. I wouldn't worry about who's going to carry my games. I'd want my games on my own channel, the Expos channel.
I think it's way more likely that the other sports network in this country would invest in it, the existing sports network, who have a big investment in Quebec anyway, and are the Canadians' rights holders. and have their name on the building there. But just a thought.
Well, how are they doing anything about it?
I don't know. Again, there's no, you know, it's kind of with the chicken and, you know, the egg proposition here. There's got to be some sense that there's a place to play and that there's some momentum towards having a place to play before you can even have a conversation. You can't play in the Big O. That can't be the game plan.
Well, no, but nobody's suggesting that's the game plan. You have to build a stadium.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're spending a lot of time talking about this, aren't we?
The opening here is just the fact that there is no progress being made in either place. I mean, that's why.
And you're right. And where else are you going to go?
Right, and then that's the point. There's not, you know, it was funny back in the early 2000s. Portland was the hot name, right? Maybe the Marlins have moved to Portland. Well, Portland now does not even have a minor league baseball team. They had to retrofit their stadium to fit the MLS soccer team in there full time. So they do not have baseball at all. So that's not a viable market for MLB anymore. So
well, the only two others that I can think of are Oak City. And I've talked to the mayor on numerous occasions before they got the basketball team, and he said he thought that Oklahoma City was of a size where they could only support one major sports franchise. They now have that. So he probably wouldn't be all that interested, although you never know. The other one's Las Vegas, and having been a resident there on a couple of occasions during my life, I have a very difficult time imagining Las Vegas supporting a Major League Baseball franchise. I mean, I understand. Look, there's enough money in town. The mayor, Oscar Goodman, was adamant about trying to get a professional sports franchise. You could get the stadium built. It'd be a dome. It'd have to be hotter than hell.
A little
in there.
Warm, yeah.
Although it's probably no warmer than hotter than Texas
or Arizona.
Yeah, or Arizona. But still,
that would be the model.
I just don't think you can get people to go. One-third of the population's working, one-third of the population is sleeping at any given time of the day. And there are, you talk about competition for the entertainment dollar? That's the king of competition for the entertainment dollar.
No, I think when you take away the Northern Virginias, you know, the kind of places that have been talked about because of territoriality, there aren't. I think you're right about this, JP. There are no vacant baseball markets big enough in the United States, big enough to support a major league team.
I mean, you could say Charlotte, maybe. You know, that's a maybe, but they've struggled to support their basketball franchise.
That's right.
I don't see it. I mean, people have mentioned it. I don't personally see it. I really think of all the possibilities in North America, that Montreal makes some sense. I mean, I guess you could maybe
talk
me
into it.
Argue for Vancouver, depending on how you feel about that one as a possibility. It doesn't sound like BC Place is a real viable baseball option for 81 home games. But when you look at places that are growing, places where you could put a spot. I mean, there are not a lot of places in the States right now. That's why I think this is at least an interesting thing to think about.
You know what? I thought it was a dumb idea, and the more you talked about it, the more interested I became in it. Maybe we'll touch on this button somewhere down the road.
Hey, I appreciate it. This could be a monthly thing. I'll let you guys figure out the Canadian TV regulations and everything, and I'll continue asking the commissioner at every availability he has the rest of the year the Montreal question, okay?
Don't get carried away with the monthly thing.
Yeah, don't annoy Bud. You know, he might not talk to you at all.
That's true. I got to be careful.
See you soon. Oh, it's over. I should pay more attention, shouldn't I? I'm going to start doing that. Well, Smith came in and he's, he never shuts up. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, what are you going to do? It's free. Rob Becker, Christine Brennan, Pat Gillick, Glenn Healy, David Branch all joining us a little bit later on. And Neil Smith in studio when Primetime Sports continues. You're listening on The Fan or watching on Sportsnet.
Blue Jays versus Orioles. Tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today. I never needed anybody's help in any way.
So seriously, did you come down here just to do this?
I did. I fought through the traffic, fought through the...
You're not doing anything else on Sportsnet tonight?
No.
So you drove down here, you're going to do this for 15 minutes, and then you're going to get back in the car and go home?
Yeah, because I want to fight the traffic all the way back up the Parkway North. That's what I do for fun.
How is it that you're surprised? How is it you're surprised that you don't have a job in the National Hockey League anymore? As dumb as you are, I mean, you're dumber than a post.
You know what it is? I had to come down here anyway. I had to see Ryan. He promised me a free coffee if I came down.
Did he get
you
it to
me with free?
Oh, you got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Only Neil Smith would spend $10 in gas
to get a free coffee.
To get $1.50 coffee. Where is Ryan, by the way? Where's my autographed baseball? Did he bring it in? Has he got it around? I need that autographed baseball today. Remind me if you're still awake later in the show. So Brad Richards is making how much?
I think he's getting paid $12 million this year. I think that's his... That's not the cap hit, but that's what he's actually taking home.
Yeah, that's this year.
Yeah.
So his deal is seven... Wait a minute. Is it 9 years... $60 million was the deal. And they're benching him.
Yeah, healthy scratch.
Has he been that bad?
I don't think... I don't know how you could possibly be that bad to be a healthy scratch and making that much money and you're an assistant captain of the team and all the rest of it.
I mean, I've watched the games, but I mean, you know, I don't watch it the way you do.
I don't think he's been that bad. He just... Torts has got him down to the fourth line.
Well, yeah, what kind of production is he expecting from him on the fourth line?
He puts him out on the power play, and I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, you're going to maybe he's trying to shock the team by doing this.
Well, they could use a little shocking, don't you think?
Well, they sure could, but the shock might be that they'll be done after tonight.
You have to be surprised that this is going the way it is. You would have thought Rangers would have put up more of a fight at least, huh?
Yeah, I would have thought Rangers would have won one game by now, for sure. But their Boston is able to handle the Rangers much easier than they were able to handle the Leafs.
Why is that?
Because of the lack of physicality on the part of the Rangers.
Right.
And the Leafs went after them physically, and Chara wasn't even close to what he is right now. I mean, he's playing against the Rangers over 30 minutes some nights. And against the Leafs, they were taking the body on him all night, and he wasn't as effective.
Yeah. No, I agree. What else has caught your eye? You want to let me get, before we do that, did they fire the wrong guy in Vancouver?
Well, it's the old story again. Like, you knew in that series between Vancouver and San Jose was going on that one of those two teams was going to fire the coach at the end of the series because they both were expected to win. And so Vancouver lost four straight. You knew Vigneault was going to get fired. He doesn't deserve to get fired, but deserve has nothing to do with it.
Should Gillis have been fired?
I don't think.
I mean, who's been more responsible? If you have to have a sacrificial lamb in Vancouver and, you know, two premature first round exits in a row, I get somebody's got to pay. Because it is, unlike here in Toronto, the expectations are much higher in Vancouver as well. They should be.
Yeah.
So I get that it may not be right, but we all understand that's the way it works. Somebody was going to get the axe. Why wouldn't it have been Gillis? Why wouldn't you have been able to look at him and say, you haven't put a good enough product on the ice. You have let this team get old. You had a goaltending situation that you stubbornly were unable to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only sit here and speculate as to how much impact that had on this team over the course of the year. How much it wore on them, how much, you know, what it was like in the room, etc. Don't you think he was the obvious choice?
Well, I think that Alain Vigneault is more of an accomplished coach than Mike Gillis is an accomplished GM.
That's well put.
And I think that his resume is a lot better as a coach than Mike Gillis's is as a GM. I think the reason why the Vancouver Canucks lost four straight was because they didn't have the horses. They won a very mediocre division title out there in the Northwest. They didn't have a lot of competition of that ilk. And, I heard Mike Gillis say yesterday that we're in a results-oriented business, and twice we've been knocked out and we've been the higher seed. Well, didn't the same guy that got you to be the higher seed, wasn't that the coach?
Yeah.
Like when that banner goes up next year in Vancouver that says Northwest Division champs, wasn't that Alain Vigneault that coached that team to get it. Now he got fired for it. You know, so what I guess I'm saying is he didn't have the horses to win. Is that his fault? It's not his fault.
No, I think it's the general manager's fault.
Exactly. It's player personnel. But that's just not the way it works. The general manager's in bed with the owner usually, right? They're buddies. And it goes down the pecking line. Then the general manager convinces the owner, I guess this is the change we got to make. The owner goes along with him or doesn't go along with him. But it's never fair. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, Gillis isn't the most likable guy, I must tell you.
No, he's not got a warm and fuzzy personality.
Yeah, I've had some dealings with him when he was an agent still. When we were doing the business of sports, he came on. We had a panel show, and he came on. And I just found him to be just a totally cold fish, like not an enjoyable guy to be around at all. No, I didn't care much. He was an agent. I didn't think I'd ever have to deal with him again.
Yeah.
And then he surfaces in this job. And, I mean, you've watched it's just there's that smugness and arrogance.
Right.
That I just don't know. I don't understand people. In that position where your job is perilous and that fans and media actually can severely influence your future, and to treat them like he treats them as like it's, you know, crap on the bottom of his shoe.
Right.
That comes back to bite you.
Oh, it has to. Look no further than right in this city and what happened with Berkey. To some extent, you're dealing with that. You were dealing with that. If you go after the media and Don Cherry and on, it does come back to bite you at some point.
Well, you know, two hands on the steering wheel, and they better both be mine, right?
Right. Yeah. But with Gillis, a lot of hockey people don't like what happened in Vancouver with Dave Nonis, because there was, you know, when Dave got fired out of Vancouver, Mike Gillis was right there, you know, at the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people wouldn't be sad about seeing bad things happen with Mike Gillis, because they feel it wasn't right what he did with Dave Nonis, or his part in that, if he played a part in it.
Is Sather a Ranger forever? For life?
It seems like it.
How old is Glenn? Is he 70?
No, he's mid-60s, though.
I mean, you have to be surprised by Detroit. I mean, they are the surprise, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. It's really surprising. And I think what's even more surprising is Chicago's how they're handling it. How they handled it in the last game, they seem to be in disarray after a while, especially when they showed the bench and they showed Joel Quenneville screaming at Corey Crawford to get back into the net. They just seem to be very badly rattled in that game in Detroit.
Could you have seen, I mean, is there any way in hindsight to look back and say, yeah, I can see now how this could have happened? Because I don't get it at all. I mean, I appreciate, you know, the Red Wing mystique, but let's be blunt. 2 weeks before the regular season was over, they were less than 50-50 of getting into playoffs.
Yeah.
Less than 50-50. And I mean, I know there were some out there that were saying, oh, the Red Wings will make it because it's the Red Wings. And I know they had some games in hand, so it was hard to kind of calculate where they were going to be. But, I mean, they literally got in by the skin of their teeth. No one expected them to. I didn't expect them to get to the second round. I thought that magic that they, you know, they had that nice little run in the last two or three weeks of the regular season that got them in.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's it. Because once you get to the postseason, they don't have the experience anymore that they once had abundance of. I mean, it's not that the Red Wings don't have lots of playoff experience. They've got, 22 consecutive years of playoffs.
Yeah.
But they don't have that core guys with all that experience. They have a lot of young guys, a lot of Anarondek guys that are in that lineup now that didn't have a wealth of playoff experience. I thought it would catch up to them. And instead.
No, well, they just keep going. But what I've seen is that Jimmy Howard in goal and Zetterberg, Datsyuk, Franzen, Philpola, Cleary, Abdelkader have pushed their game up a notch as the playoffs have gone on. They're better right now than they were even against Anaheim, and they knocked Anaheim out in seven. So I listened to Babcock talk, and he said that we weren't a very good team coming down the stretch when we were trying to make the playoffs, but we've become a good team over this time. They've gotten a lot better.
We are being told that the Colorado Avalanche have tweeted that Patrick Roy is indeed their next head coach.
Oh.
Good move.
Sure. I mean, why not have...
He's now proven himself, I think.
Yeah, and he, you know, the thing the thing that you've got to admire is he went down and he paid his dues and he coached...
For a long time.
Yeah, for a long time. And he did work hard at it.
I always respect guys who do that.
Yeah. And he'll probably do a good job. It'll be very interesting to see. I'm always amused, though, at these organizations now that try to set up their present with their past by making everybody from their glory days run their team for them.
Yeah. We'll have more on the Patrick Roy hiring, assuming it's official, a little bit later on in the program. But the Avalanche are tweeting that, indeed, Patrick Roy is the new head coach of the Colorado Avalanche. Another job Neil Smith doesn't get.
I'm not. I don't want to be the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, you have no qualifications for it.
Yes, I do. I coach the Johnstown Chiefs.
Yeah, I know. How'd they do?
9-24.
I rest my case, ladies and gentlemen. That's the lovely, if not talented, Neil Smith. You can catch him somewhere on the dial almost every day of the week. But you got to organize a search party to find him. Primetime continues on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Brady and Lang in the morning. Tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 9. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I can't imagine how tight your underwear would have to be to sing like that. It's got to hurt. Coming up on the program, former Rutgers quarterback Ryan Hart has filed a lawsuit against EA Sports, saying they used his likeness in the NCAA football video games. A judge ruled in favor of EA Sports. So what's the future for lawsuits involving the use of college athletes and their likeness? I don't know enough about the case to comment on it, other than to say I'm quite surprised by this, that a judge would determine that a company can get away with using the likeness of an individual, clearly profiting from that, and not be compelled to share some of that revenue with that individual. But we'll address it with Rob Becker. We'll also talk a little bit about the possibility of a lawsuit with regard to this rule on anchored putters that the RNA and USGA have conjured up. So Becker will join us later. Christine Brennan doesn't join us all that often on this program, but we always enjoy talking to her. We'll address the Tiger Woods Sergio Garcia fiasco. Pat Gillick, special advisor to the Philadelphia Phillies, will be with us. Glenn Healy from Hockey Night in Canada. And it's win or go home from here on in at the Memorial Cup. David Branch, the president of the CHL, commissioner of the OHL, joins us as well. Primetime continues in a bit.